Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Coming up on NBA Today, Joel Embiid. Have you seen this man recently? He has been on a tear. Why his MVP chances have never been higher. We explain. Plus, Jalen Rose, his exclusive sit-down interview with Grizzlies star Ja Morant after Commissioner Adam Silver announced his 8-game suspension. Do not miss that. And with just over 3 weeks left in the regular season, the West is getting more and more wild. Are the Lakers running out of time? Mark Jones, tell me why the Kings are not.
They open up the floor. Fox going to go to work. Pulls up for the winner. Got it! D-Fox with some dynamite!
De'Aaron Fox is a bad, bad man. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by American Express. I'm so excited.
You should be.
My friends are back. Chinne Agumake is with us.
Co-workers.
Our associate, Richard Jefferson. Yeah. Kendrick Perkins, his home studio in Houston, will be stopping by in just a little bit. Vince Carter is going to be joining us as well. We had another 50-point game last night.
Chitty yes, peas, lemon pepper, habanero.
Oh, you want to keep going?
You're just going to steal.
Barbecue.
You're just going to steal.
Teriyaki.
Steal
Cajun rub.
I love it. How many 50-point games did you have in your career?
High school.
Hey.
I don't think I had a 50-point game in high school.
Well, let Steph Curry show you how it's done, because he had the 22nd 50-point game of the year, which
crazy.
Is insane, and it's still wasn't enough, Chinne. Ibiza Zubac's going to work down low.
One of my favorite players, underrated big, that really just is efficient and effective for the Clippers. But watch this.
This is important because this is Draymond Green picking up his 16th technical foul, which means it triggers an automatic suspension for the game in Atlanta. He's confident. He told me that it's going to get rescinded, though.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. I'm just watching.
I know. Steph Magic.
I don't know if that's going to get rescinded.
He's confident.
I love your confidence.
He's confident regardless.
Yeah. I want my guy down.
Well, you know who had some confidence, especially in the third quarter? Steph Curry. He was cooking.
It was ridiculous. I called the game last night. And
you did?
When I tell you that the entire audience, like the only thing that was slowing down Steph was the Clipper offense. It was so impressive because all those 50 points, all these little layups.
That shot was stupid.
He had two of them.
Look at the wrist.
It was a masterclass. But look, the Clippers were impressive last night. They answered. Eric Gordon was huge. We're going to get to that lack of defense there here in a second. But look, he was doing it all. Like I said, he had two of those shots, Malika.
Steph Curry had 21 points in the third quarter, 41 through three. The Warriors down 6, though, after. So we pick it up in the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth. Clippers up 9 at this point. You said it. Kawhi Leonard rounding into form, Richard.
It was so impressive. He's just so efficient. It just like the amount of dribbles, everything he does. And Steph was doing every single thing he could to keep him in it. But the Warriors' issues are not on the offensive end.
Right. And the Clippers' issues are fizzling out by the day. They were clicking on all cylinders. Paul George, he hits that. Steph Curry knows at this point that his 50 burger would not be quite enough. So the Clippers, they improved to 12-2 when Kawhi Leonard scores 30. Then you can see Steph. I mean, this is crazy. The Warriors dropped to 0-2 when he scores 50 this season, and that is just not acceptable, frankly. Let's hear from Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard after the game.
I mean, I'm just happy that we were able to, you know, get these wins, playing good basketball, getting 30 points and losing, where I'm at in my career is, it doesn't do much for me. So if I'm able to come out and get a win and, you know, our team is in a good place, that I'm more happy with that.
Y'all know me. It's nice to play well and shoot well. That's what I expect to do every night. No matter what the stat sheet looks like after the game, it's just frustrating when you can't get over the hump and figure out a way to get a win, especially with where we've been all season on the road. So
All right, Steph, he's still confident the Warriors, they can get right, but the difference between their three-point shooting home and the road, the numbers are hard to ignore. Chinee, what did you see?
I mean, this is straight wild. Look at the numbers right here. Three-point defense by venue. They're first in the NBA when they're at home defending the three-point line. 41%, 29th, second worst in the NBA when they are on
unprecedented.
The road. I don't know how, Sway, but let me show you exactly what really won the game. And so let's dive into this. By the way, y'all, I want you to look at this right here. 34 seconds on the clock. That means 2-for-1, right? Two possessions is what you're aiming for. That's why Kawhi Leonard lets the ball roll. So he lets the ball roll. He's trying to eat up some clock so that he can get these two shots in for his team. Pause it right there. The Warriors, they're in a 1-2-2, right? 1-2-3-4-5. 1-2-2. In 1-2-2 zones, they're hard to rebound. We all know this, but I want you to keep an eye on Mr. Terrence Mann because he makes a beeline on the rim and no one, he goes untouched all the way down there. Look at him. Grabs, snatches this board. And this is so important because the Clippers, what do they have? They had 16. Oh, you like my arrows there? He had 16 offensive boards. They converted that into 27 points. What do the Warriors have in contrast? Only 11 points off of the boards. Things like this will get you wins in the NBA just by hustle and heart. All right, as the play goes, again, they're in zone. It's hard to defend, a pick and roll in zone. So nice little attack right here. Beautiful extra pass. I'm going to slow it down right here because watch Kawhi. Look at this hand. A really strong closeout. He reads it. He's able to attack. Most importantly, he draws the help defense. Here's the help defense. But what I love about this right here is that he's able to find two shooters. And who are the two shooters? One, he has two options because DiVincenzo has to make a decision, a business decision. Who am I going to guard? He's either way too late. Shot goes up. And watch. Richard, these are the favorite things that I like to watch. I want you to watch this guy right here.
He's like,
look at this. I don't know if this is happiness or sadness.
It's emotion.
Yeah, we got that. Watch the emotion. He's like, oh, man, another offensive board. He could be a Warriors fan. Or he'd be like, oh, man, yeah, Clippers, you guys are getting it
done. That was a good form you had there.
But, yeah, this guy right here has 50. It's unacceptable for them to lose when he has 50. So the Warriors have more questions.
Right.
And guess what? The Clippers, their availability, their guys making the right reads, knocking down shots, passing the ball open, they have more answers
And you
now.
Could see that look on Steph Curry's face after the game. But you were actually on the call, Richard.
Yes.
What did you see?
Well, look, again, I had the pleasure of calling both games. I called their home game against Phoenix. Obviously, there was no Kevin Durant. And then their second game. But look at this. I want to show you guys, like Chinee, to Chinee's point, their difference between home and road defense is ridiculous. Now, Monday against Phoenix, 19 threes for the Warriors. Now, mind you, this was no Kevin Durant, but there's no Wiggins. There's like teams are missing guys. They held them to 4-for-21. So you're like, okay, Warriors
maybe
win.
Maybe this is starting.
Warriors
right.
do what they do, right? They've been struggling on the road, and winning at home. The very next game. Now, mind you, the Clippers are a talented team. But 17 threes to 16 threes. That means that the Clippers basically were on par with the Golden State Warriors, and that's not going to get it done. You can't have these numbers at home defensively against a good three-point shooting team in the Suns and then do this.
Wait, Richard, does this mean you actually like the numbers?
No. We're just making a point.
No numbers?
No. We're just making a point. But let's go to the graphic. When you have this disparity, the next graphic, look at them. They are 29-7 at home. Why? Because they are one of the best at defending the three and shooting threes. The Warriors were always a math problem. They would switch all five across, not let you shoot threes, and then they would obliterate you from threes. So it was a math problem, as JJ likes to say, the math wasn't mathing. On the road, 7-27. A lot of that is because their inability to defend the three and the amount that they are fouling so they can't get out and then transition. This is maybe the biggest gap in NBA history. Don't quote me on that. I'm probably sure.
Don't at me.
But it's one of the worst that you've ever seen, and it's because the Warriors, their identity completely changes the minute they get on the road. They're a completely different team.
And we're just not used to this from the Golden State Warriors. Historically, they've been one of the most versatile teams that we have seen. But you know who else is versatile?
Who?
Did you see this last night? Richard Jefferson. Take a listen to this.
Oh, no.
You've done a great job. If this coaching thing doesn't work out, you'd be pretty good on television.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't think I could pull off those shoes, though.
I think you can. I think you're outstanding.
So I think what Steve Kerr said is, I don't think that you can pull off those shoes, but it was hard for me to hear because the mic wasn't in his face. So if I could, Chinee, with your assistance, let me do a little bit of a breakdown of my own here because I have a little bit of experience.
Here we go.
On the sidelines and in the final. Freeze it, please, Chinee. So I like this.
I'm nervous. At this point in time, America, I'm sweating.
And
right?
We all know because the eye contact isn't quite there. We like to see a little bit of a connection with our subjects. Just let them know, hey, we're about to go on camera. It's
eye,
gonna
contact.
Be good.
Eye, like contact.
Eye contact. Thing number one. Okay. I like eye contact.
I like eye contact.
Please play it. So then, you get ready.
Like,
you get ready. I can see you formulating your questions in your head. That's good eye contact there. Now maintain it. This is very important, Richard. When the subject is talking, what they have to say is infinitely more important than what you have to say.
Trash.
I know that's a hard concept for you to grasp at times, my friend. Just make sure the microphone, Chinay, stays firmly in place, in position. It is all about your stance.
Sorry to interrupt, because look right here. There's the microphone
this
while
is a
he's talking.
Beautiful example, Chinay. Thank you for pointing
and then,
that out.
What?
And then it goes back to you. I think it is a solid first outing. It was nice to see. This is maybe the equivalent of like a Jordan Poole performance earlier in the year. We're seeing some glimpses of what he could
okay,
be,
let
and
me
then
see.
He's
guys,
rounding
you,
into
four. You guys know the term, a jack of all trades, a master of none? That is me. I can do it all. I'm just not good at any of it.
You're a perk word. You're a joke.
No,
right?
Oh, no.
Jack of all trades.
Let's not start using that. You know, I've been sweet. I've been a joke. I've been a lot of different things. Last couple of days, so let's not address that.
A for effort, B in actuality, but we will see him on the sidelines again. Good work, Richard. Oh, that was rude. We're going to stick in the West here, though. Rich, you get a little bit of a break, because with the chance to get back to 500 for the first time this season, the Lakers, still without LeBron James, having Anthony Davis resting on the second night of a back-to-back, they went into Houston, and Chinay, who won? Your Rockets.
Let's get it!
So, they ended
the
game.
No, they're not only her Rockets when they
tied for the least total wins in the NBA. Darvin Ham, Jared Vanderbilt. They spoke after the loss. Let's take a listen.
Talked about it, and I said it before games, after games, non-game days, energy, effort, and urgency. And I thought, you know, coming out of the gates, that kind of was non-existent. You know, I didn't see a lot of that, but I saw it on their part, Houston.
You know, we ran out of time. I mean, I know we got, 12 games left. We have no more freebies, even though, I mean, we never had none to begin with, but we need all these games.
Welcoming in Vince Carter, Kendrick Perkins to the conversation. The Lakers,
no more freebies.
They are back in 10th, just a half game from being back outside, on the outside looking in. And Darvin Ham, he called out their lack of urgency. So, Perk, at the end of the day, we know that Boston lost to Houston. Are you surprised by what you saw from the Lakers?
You know I love these moments. You know I love these moments when I get to come on NBA Today and bring up receipts. Not receipts from a month ago. Not receipts from a couple of weeks ago. Some receipts from yesterday. Matter of fact, listen to this for a second. I got the receipts from yesterday. Here it go right here. I understand the Houston Rockets have been horrible, but they just beat the Boston Celtics. Right now, they have guys that are playing for their careers, that are playing for their jobs, their livelihoods. They're playing extremely hard right now. So this is not a game that you're going to walk into and say, oh, even what I did with a better team, because that's not the case.
Okay.
I mean, what? Damn. And that's exactly what happened last night. And look, this is the problem that I have. In the basketball world, we talk about the basketball gods and disrespecting the basketball gods. And where the Lakers are at right now, they actually are two games from being in the sixth spot. Okay, why would you not capitalize or take advantage of that every opportunity that you can? Now, I know the Anthony Davis, him sitting out on back-to-backs, I know it's tricky for us with the medical staff, and I get all that. But why wouldn't you try to secure the sixth seed? And I just pray and hope that this game right here don't come back to bite the Lakers in there. You know what? Because they decided to leave Anthony Davis or sit Anthony Davis out last night, and it cost him an opportunity to move up into the standings.
Right, because Vince, Jared Vanderbilt, he said the Lakers after the game, he said, look, we're running out of time. Do you think they are?
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows it. He said, we're running out of time. And he's basically, in my opinion, saying the same thing that Perk is saying. We need everybody. Whoever is healthy right now, we need to be on the floor to get wins. And I understand, like Perk said, they're in a predicament where it's like, yeah, all right, can we hold on to secure a spot, any spot, and have our guys going into the playoffs healthy? Because at the end of the day, if you can secure a 7-8 spot, you know, let's just say they don't get the 6 spot, you still have LeBron James hopefully healthy coming back, and you have AD healthy that can get you one win to kind of secure a spot. But at the same time, it's like the sense of urgency is like, what's more important? And mm-hmm. I think they're stuck in the decision making. They don't know what mm-hmm. is more important. Healthy Anthony Davis, you know, for the back end or the playoff spot, or now, well, if he gets hurt, then what do you do?
Right, exactly. And they're going to have to make that decision quick because the Lakers only have 12 games remaining in the season. And by the way, on Friday, they face the Dallas Mavericks, which should be an interesting game because the Mavericks had an interesting finish against the Spurs, to say the least. We will get into that coming up here on NBA Today. But first, Joel Embiid. Whew. He's been on a mission this season. His MVP case, it may have never been stronger than it is right now. We will get into that. And John Morant, he sat down with Jalen Rose yesterday and discussed it all. Don't miss the exclusive one-on-one conversation that he had following his 8-game suspension announcement. Plus, there is no one more clutch than De'Aaron Fox this season. His must-see moments from a career season so far. We will be right back after the break.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it.
Joel Embiid has been just sensational.
An absolute menace.
Oh, Embiid smashes the rim.
What in a game, don't play with my name.
Step back three. It's gone! 47 for Joel.
You hear the crowd, they screaming my name. I got the stadium going insane.
Hit it! Absolutely unstoppable.
Happy 29th birthday to Mr. Joel Embiid, but I'm not sure there's a better birthday present than the performance that he had last night, Chiney.
I mean, look at that. With the midi in and out, this guy is so skilled, and I think it's underrated because he does most of his damage by the basket.
Mm-hmm. Doubled on the low block and still get it to go. Joel Embiid was doing a little bit of everything.
Oh, my favorite
this,
part,
Richard.
His first sport, volleyball, and I love it.
Oh, too yeah, I've seen it. Look, what he was doing, though, and again, like, the bigs, they have bigs out there trying to battle. Evan Mobley, he's a problem, young stud. But Joel Embiid gave him every bit that he could handle.
But I know that this was the play, Rich, that you were watching.
This was the play here. Watch this drop. He goes, he jumps. Evan Mobley gets a drop off. He's 7 foot with bouncing length and just does all the little things. It was so impressive. Look at that. That was a big swing. He gets down.
That's volleyball.
Look at where he is. That second jump for a 7-footer gets over there. That is a huge defensive play. And literally, a minute later.
Yep, right here.
A minute later, look at this. 2 seconds ago on the clock, a step back off the glass, bucket. He was just so elite. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
36 points, 18 rebounds, woo, 4 blocks. Let's that hear man. From Joel Embiid after the game.
I'm trying to win. Try to rack up as much wins as we can. And, like I said, try to get the group together, doing our job. Like tonight, down 12, we've had a fight, all season long, especially going down, and we keep coming back, and that's good to see.
So just 2 days ago, Nikola Jokic, he was the heavy betting favorite. You can see the details on your screen there. But Joel Embiid, he is playing catch-up. Both players now at a minus 105. That is according to Caesars Sportsbook. And this is in large part thanks to the tear that Joel Embiid is bringing on. So I want to bring Kendrick Perkins into the conversation, not to focus on any other candidate here, just on Joel Embiid, because he has been playing out of his mind. What has stood out to you the most about his play recently?
Well, Malika, that's the only person that we're focusing on right now. And in the words of Jaylen Brown, the energy has shifted. And you know why? It's not because of anything that's going on. It's because of what's happening in between the lines. Mm. And when you look at Philly being on a six-game winning streak, forget him leading the league in scoring and going right out there and getting these 38s and 36 and 18. It's what he's doing on the other side of the floor. The four blocks last night, him having an impact on the defensive end, him being healthy, him being available. That's what I'm seeing right now. And look, Giannis is the best player in the world in my eyes. But I'm telling you right now, Embiid is on his heels like a pair of church socks, and that is extra tight. That is extra tight when it comes down to being in the conversation. Because what he's doing right now, he is showing the world, forget all the accolades, forget everything else that we may talk about, that night in and night out, I'm willing to match up with whomever and show that I'm the best player on the floor every single night. And that's exactly what he's been doing over the last 2 weeks.
Right, leading the league with 33.5 points per game this season. Sure. Pretty impressive stuff from Joel
Embiid. Second year in a row.
And then there's that look from Kendrick Perkins as he says, I said what I said. Still to come, though, on our show, we have Jalen Rose's sit down with Ja Morant. He tells us exactly what happened on that night in Denver that wound up with him being suspended for 8 games. And Damian Lillard, some really interesting sound you need to hear because he's having one of the best individual seasons of his career. So we react to his comments on how players should be remembered. Plus, it's Thursday. It's that time of the week. Vince Carter, he has taken us to the upper room, baby. And we have 2 weeks of dunks to be judged. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by American Express.
Let's check out last night's one top play brought to you by Uber One. De'Aaron Fox, he did it again. This time, clock winding down against Chicago. He sized up Ayo Dosunmu and then just drilled the game-winning three. Fox scored 15 of his 32 in the fourth quarter, his eighth time scoring 15 or more points in the fourth quarter this season. His all-NBA bid is going crazy right now. So with the win, the Kings, they moved past the Grizzlies for the 2 seed in the West. They've been jockeying back and forth there. Remember, these teams have identical records of 41 and 27, but Sacramento holds a tiebreaker. That's thanks to a better conference record. On Wednesday, Grizzlies star Ja Morant, he met with Commissioner Adam Silver. And then afterward, the league announced that Morant would be suspended for 8 games. That includes the 6 that he has already served. And then Morant, he sat down exclusively with our Jalen Rose for his first interview since he was seen flashing a gun in a Denver nightclub.
You met with Adam Silver today, and he suspended you for 8 games. What was that meeting like?
It was good. Pretty much, you know, an open discussion. Obviously, you know, he said things, you know, I need to, you know, be better at, but, you know, more of just, you know, showing his support towards me. And I accepted that. And, you know, I also, you know, sent my apologies, you know, to everybody, you know, the league, you know, myself, my teammates, my family for, you know, putting that negativity towards all of us with a, you know, bad decision.
Tough loss at Denver. You at the spot, shirt off. What were you thinking and feeling at that moment when you decided to go live?
Pretty much just trying to be free, use that as an escape, which I shouldn't have. And I feel like that's the reason, you know, I made many, you know, bad decisions, you know, in my past, which doesn't describe Jai as a person. You know, I'm a totally different person, you know, than what's been shown, you know, in the media.
For you at that moment, what were you thinking, and whose gun were you holding?
I was felt like, you know, I was releasing stress, and I felt like it was healthy for me, and which it wasn't, and that caused me to do some things that, you know, I shouldn't have. You know, the gun wasn't mine. It's not who I am. I don't condone and, you know, any type of violence, but I take, you know, full responsibility, you know, for my actions, and I can see the image, you know, that I painted, you know, over myself, you know, with my recent mistakes. But, you know, in the future, I'm gonna show everybody who Ja really is.
There was the incident allegedly after the Pacers game, and somebody was allegedly pointing a red dot at some of their personnel. Can you shed light on what happened after that game?
Majority of the things, you know, that's happened in the past, obviously, you know, I kind of put myself into. By even being there, you know, the NBA investigated, you know, everything thoroughly and, you know, found no evidence of anything.
And another incident that allegedly happened at the mall with your mom, what can you say about what happened with that situation?
You know, I got a call. I went to, you know, make sure my mom was safe. You know, that's my lifeline. You know, that's who birthed me. So, I went to make sure she was safe. You know, once I realized that, you know, I left the scene.
And then there's a situation that potentially happened with your sister surrounding a volleyball game. Can you shed some light into what took place in that scenario?
That's my baby sister. You know, I received a call and, you know, was checking on her safety. Another situation where, you know, once I found out she was safe, you know, I left the scene. Obviously, I realized Ja showed up. And, you know, that's all everybody, you know, really needed to, you know, paint whatever, you know, picture they want. And I realize now that's a problem. And, you know, I put myself in, you know, those situations.
What were you doing these last 10 days, and what did it teach you about yourself?
Just learning, you know, I can open up. I can express my feelings, and that it's, you know, okay to be able to express your feelings. So, you know, I was constantly, you know, talking to therapists. I've been doing, you know, Reiki treatment. I've been doing anxiety breathing, you know, different stuff to, you know, help me manage that and release, you know, all that stuff from my body.
What has it been like for you to see people criticize your inner circle? What have you learned about how you should move with your team going forward?
I feel like in the past, we didn't know what was at stake. And now, you know, finally me having that time to, you know, realize everything, have that time alone, I realize that now. I realize, you know, what I have to lose. You know, I can't wait to be back out there on the floor now, you know, knowing what my punishment is. And, you know, I accept that. And, you know, I feel like I deserve, you know, that punishment for, you know, my mistakes and, you know, what I did. But when I get back out there, you know, I'm going to be ready to go and ready, you know, push for a ring.
So take a look here. This is Memphis's upcoming schedule. Morant, he's actually eligible to play on Monday in the Grizzlies game against the Mavericks, but our Adrian Wojnarowski, he's reporting that that is unlikely that he plays in that game. He is continuing to ramp up. So without Ja, the Grizzlies, they were in action last night. They lost in Miami to the Heat. But take a look at this. This is late in the second quarter. Dylan Brooks, he chases after a loose ball here, and he appears to push camera operator Terry Swan. Now, sources told ESPN that Swan suffered a shoulder and elbow injury and is seeking medical attention. We will have more on this story as it continues to develop. Coming up, Oh, it's Vince Carter's favorite segment. Can you guess where we are headed? Richard, where are we going?
The Upper Room.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
ISO defense. You've got to be able to guard your yard. Oh, my goodness. That's the kind of stuff that Blake Griffin used to do to people.
You're like me. I understand that.
It's a physical game.
Oh, me, oh, my. A monster jam by Blake Griffin.
But hey, I didn't mean. But,
yeah, you did.
No.
Scott, I know you.
When I said it and then I looked at you, then I remembered. I wasn't thinking it when I first said it.
So you started turning red around the cheeks. That's how I know you lie.
No, I'm telling you.
Now, Perk, you know that was a direct shot from our boy Scal. Shout out my brother Scal, draft partners. Shout out, you know, check your people, bro.
Scalabrini, boy.
It's Blake's birthday today, Perk.
You still send him gifts, or do you send him the videos? Right, how's this work?
All right, it's time for us to get to the segment of the week. It is time for Upper Room. As a reminder, this is how it works. We humbly present our dunks of the last 2 weeks, because we didn't do this last week, to the one and only, there's nothing humble about it, to Vince Carter, and only one will win. One can go to the Upper Room and get bottle service. I'm the all-time leader. Janae, see if you can dethrone me.
I think I'm like in second place, though. And, I have Perk's to say this. Place. Is he? Maybe not. Okay, in my head, I'm in second place, all right? Number two, I'm the second child
of
my
you
family.
Get to
first
your
loser.
Video?
My pick is Jason Tatum, okay?
If you're not first,
and I present this one.
Ricky Bobby.
Because it's not just the dunk, it's the force. Mr. Vince Carter, it's the landing. Ooh. And it's on someone who the last 5 or 6 years has been considered the best defender in the NBA statistically. Mm. DPO-wise, say it with your chest. Someone that may not get MVP, even though he had a great case and still has a great case, but this, he should get the Upper Room for that. I'm talking about Mr. Tatum.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
All right.
Honestly, that was adorable.
The stifle tower.
I love it.
Adorable.
It was it.
Top it.
Now, mine, see, like, the, look, Jason Tatum, 6'9½". There's some big guys out here. I like it when the little guys catch bodies. Because, you know what I'm saying? That's what we used to do. Me and Vince, we used to look for people like Perk just to catch bodies.
And he had the
first
pick today.
Do.
Are you
and
a little
so,
guy?
Look, me and Vince. Vince is 6'4". I'm 6'5". You know what I'm saying? So roll my tape.
I was about to say, like, you're taking away 2 inches
Stop
from the thank you.
Listen, Donovan Mitchell. Let's get Donovan Mitchell off there. Watch this, VC. Get your boy Muscala. Watch this. Donovan Mitchell is 6'1". Boom. Oh, my gosh. He gets to that 1-2 off the crossover. Come on, man. Whose baby is that? Come on.
That's adorable, Richard.
Yeah, that was cute. That was sweet. That was nice. All shade at you, by the way, not at Donovan Mitchell. But how about this? We know that the Kings are one of the hottest teams in the NBA this year. It is hard to go into their house and do what Brandon Ingram did. Please roll me my tape, producer Condit.
There is no way you're
winning
with this.
This is on my guy, Kevin Herter. Oh, man.
I know.
Bad, Kevin Herter.
Look at this.
Oh! Red Velvet. Ooh.
Sorry,
Put the
Kevin
Red
Herter.
Rocket back in. Let's go.
Red Velvet. It's Red Velvet.
Red Velvet. Put the Red Velvet back in the oven.
Stop
put it back
talking.
In the box.
I think that there were a lot of casualties there. But Brandon Ingram deserves bottle service and a sparkler in the upper room. Perk, take us home.
A sparkler.
Yeah, why not? A little extra flair.
For the last couple weeks, I feel like I've been getting finesse. I thought my presentations has been on point, and I feel like you've been taking my bottle service and me spending big money in the club.
We've talked about drinking on air, Perk.
So I have bottle service. I've been spending top dollar VC, and I need to know, am I a loyal customer or not? And this week, damn it, it's my week. I'm going with Kawhi Leonard. We've been talking about him being available. We've been talking about him being healthy. Well, damn it, roll the clip. Here it go right now. This answered all the questions, VC.
Oh!
Down the lane.
We can't keep having Porter on here. Porter can't be on here all the time.
Body to body. Hey, BC, I need you.
Offensive foul.
I need you.
Wait,
to
he put his hand on his head?
Did
he baptize
all up
him?
Under his armpits.
In the name of the Father?
All up under his armpits. VC, I'm just saying, my presentation's been on point. My dunk's been on point. I think this week, damn it, this is mine. Take Kawhi to the upper room.
All right, Vince, you have considered all four of our nominations, and Perk is bribing you.
VC, big bottles.
Perk, we talked
big
about
bottles.
That. We talked about that, Perk.
Only one can make it, VC.
Big bottles.
Stop saying
this ain't the little bottles, VC. I'm spending big money.
Hey, Perk, first of all, you drink for free. You know that, so stop that.
He's always a special guest on Dunk Videos. He's always a special
Anthony
invited
Edwards.
Guest. Anthony Edwards.
Welcome to the upper room.
You did it again.
So when he first won, he was with me. So, like, does that mean I won?
I don't think it works like that. I don't make the rules. Vince makes the rules.
Let me see this dunk.
You can't win your own
you
stuff,
see it?
Bro.
Let's see it.
Let's see it.
All right, first of all, backdoor, and wait. First of all, he's not dunking it. He's dunking it on the way up. And he has to dunk his head. On the way up, dunk your head. Come on now.
Perk, hand over those bottles.
Excuse me.
Anthony Edwards has gotten them.
Come on now, VC.
Perk, I mean,
come
it's
on
nice.
VC. You know why.
Perk is the type of person that brings his own bottles to the club.
Let's see the leaderboard.
Anthony Edwards
right.
should have been in the
he
upper
can leave
room
the
already,
leaderboard
and he
up
got
there.
Shafted because we had a surprise guest.
So I feel like I should get it, right? Because I submitted the last Anthony Edwards dunk
no.
that
no.
one.
No.
Right?
No.
That's what
no.
brought him on the show.
No.
That ain't how it goes.
No, that ain't how it
goes.
We get to all try again next week.
Anthony Edwards,
I'm taking notes on this one. I think next week.
I don't like this
for the week.
I do. I like to win.
Welcome
still to come on NBA today. Damian Lillard, he went on JJ Redick's podcast, and he didn't hold back. He has some must-hear thoughts on the state of the league that include this.
I don't need to prove to y'all that I want to win a ring. Why the hell do I play? Like, we can't keep acting like nothing matters. Like, the rest of the stuff, the journey doesn't matter. We can't keep doing that.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Damian Lillard, his 71-point game, it was one of many individual highlights this season, along with LeBron James passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading scorer and many more. But are regular season performances being celebrated in the way that they should be? Damian Lillard, he joined the old man in the three with J.J. Redick to talk about just that. Take a listen.
The NBA I play in now is not the NBA that I came into. And I expect it to evolve. Everything is constantly changing. But I feel like I play for the love of the game. Like I want the competition. I want to know what it feels like to win. I want to see my teammates do well. I want to see my teammates get paid. You know, like that don't count. Regular season don't count. Get a ring. You know what I'm saying? Like this guy's the MVP. This guy did this. He the first. It's like, bro, what is this stuff? Like, what is this? You know what I'm saying? Like, they was asking me about Dame, but like to win a ring. And I'm like, bro, I don't need to prove to y'all that I want to win a ring. Why the hell do I play? Like, we cannot keep acting like, while I understand we play to win championships, we all want to win a championship, we can't keep acting like nothing matters. Like the rest of the stuff, the journey doesn't matter. We can't keep doing that. I think about it all the time where I'm like, man, I don't know if I can just play a long, long time, because I don't enjoy what the NBA as a whole is becoming.
Regardless of what you decide to do, by the way, you're going to be criticized for it.
Yeah.
I can give you multiple for sure. examples off the top of my head
for sure.
where someone couldn't win a ring and they go team up with a superstar, another superstar, and when they win it, it gets discredited. So the discourse,
or they go
this,
and don't win it,
yeah,
and now they look crazy,
yeah.
and now they talk
you've
worse.
Had, you've had some quotes about that as well, and I always look. How do you maintain a level of sanity within this discourse?
I have a life that's stable and is not based upon who I am as an NBA player. Like, I don't sit here and just think about I need to leave all the time, and I'm not sitting there watching TV and hearing everything they got to say like, oh, I probably should do this or I probably should do that. I'm like, when my career is over, y'all are not about to be talking about me.
So I thought JJ put this really well, listening to the extended version of the podcast, when he said that there's sort of the conversation, the discourse around the NBA and about the NBA, and then the players actually in it that are creating what Damian Lillard said was, quote, a sense of entitlement. But Vince, you played in the league for 22 years. You have a unique perspective on this. What are your thoughts?
For sure. And he has an old school mentality. When I got into the league, it was about the journey. And obviously everybody, one thing I really agreed with is that every player that steps into this league wants to try to win a championship. And there's a lot of Hall of Famers, you know, a T-Mac, for instance, or an Allen Iverson, who did not. But yet we still say, oh, they're for sure first ballot. And I think a lot of the things that has gotten caught up into how this has evolved is social media. You know, when I walked into the game, social media was not a thing. So it was just like you come to work, you do your job, and then that's really it. And now it's kind of like, you know, you get caught up and everybody hangs on every word of what is said about social media. I mean, that was the frustrating thing for me is that halftime, you know, I watched some of the young guys would come in and they immediately just flip their phone and you just see. And they're affected by what is said on social media. And it was just so frustrating because I look in the locker room, I was like, OK, but why not be affected by what's on the floor, what happened, you know, in the first half and how we can fix it and adjust to it. And I think social media has really, you know, I mean, as it is, it's great for everyone. It's like I consider it a gift and a curse. Obviously,
it works.
For you know, yeah. it works. But, it, you know, you it push, works. You know, you push your story, your business, but whatever. But like when it's time for work, you know, it's time to shut it off. And you got to do for what's in your locker because you're at the end of the day, you're around your teammates each and every day putting in the work to win.
Look, I saw lots of things that needed to be unpacked by what Dame said, and I think he was very eloquent in what he said. He wasn't calling out people. He was merely addressing something. But I think there's another side to this. When you start playing basketball, it's always 3-2-1. You win the championship. You're in your backyard. You're at a park. You envision this. I would never discredit a person. It doesn't matter if it's John Stockton, Steve Nash, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. I'm not going to ever discredit greats. Dame is a great in this game. Now, that being said, you do want to see the greatest players play on the highest stage. And sometimes it's like, whatever I have to do to get there, yes. And if I'm going to be criticized whether I don't win or if I'm going to be criticized if I do win, a la, let's say, a Kevin Durant, a la a LeBron James, a lot of these guys will get criticism. But it's like, at the end of the day, their number one goal is to be a champion.
Yeah.
Not to win, make a bunch of money, not to score a bunch of points, not like the individual accolades. For them, it's about winning a championship. And I know Dame wants to win a championship. I don't know if the environment that he is in is going to allow him to win a championship. So it's a matter of, like, Dame accepting that and saying, like, this is not how I'm going to validate my career, or I'm not going to dictate my happiness based off of that. But I think we can't make a mistake and say that it doesn't matter if it's a Super Bowl, it doesn't matter if it's a World Series, it doesn't matter if it's an NBA championship or a Stanley Cup. Every athlete's dream when they enter into this space is to be at the highest stage and win a championship, but that should not be the only thing that dictates a person's success in their career.
Perk?
Listen, I love Dame. I believe he's box office, but ring culture didn't start this year, last year, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Ring culture has been around since the beginning of time. And we talk about all the greats like Bill Russell, and we see them on magazines holding up 11 of them. And we go down to Larry and Magic when they was battling for rings. They didn't have social media then. They were playing for championships. And then we move on to Jordan, and we know he went got six of them. And then we talk about the Clutch City days with Elijah won. And then we move on to Kobe and Shaq, and we see videos of Kobe in the Dallas Maverick Arena saying one, two, three, four, five. He wasn't talking about how many all-star appearances he had. He talked about the championships. And when you play in this game, in my opinion, you should want to be on the big stage. You should want to take home that hardware. And listen, I'm going to say this last, and this is not a knock on anybody, like no one. But I know so many guys that didn't win a championship that was in all-star games. I know so many former players that put up big numbers and led the league in scoring and was guys that were 20 points per night scorers. But guess what? Today, we talk more about a role player like Robert Horry than we talk about those former all-stars because he got seven championships. Mm-hmm. And that's the bar that has always been set since the beginning of time, and it's not going to change no time soon, and it shouldn't change. It should always be about ring culture. Always.
Yeah. I'm bummed we don't have more time to continue this conversation because there's so many directions that we could go here. I just wanted to say before we move on that one thing I appreciated about this conversation is it made me think. It made me think about the value that we place in the regular season versus in championships. It made me think about our role, the media's role, and sort of the discourse surrounding the NBA. I encourage everyone to go listen to the full podcast because it's really fascinating stuff. Here's our next Wednesday doubleheader. It starts in the Lone Star State. Luka, the Mavs, they'll lead against Steph and the Warriors. That's at 7:30 Eastern. And then L.A. and A.D., the Lakers hosting Devin Booker. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern. ESPN and the NBA family at large lost a member this week. Pat McGrath, who was our statistician, he worked closely with Dave Pasch. He died unexpectedly on Monday. He worked on our NBA project at ESPN for over 20 years. He worked 38 Super Bowls, many Final Fours. He was the right hand to legends. I'm talking about Jim Nantz, Mike Tirico, Brad Nessler, Doug Collins. That's just to name a few. And I had the privilege of working on game broadcasts with him. And he gave me confidence that when I stepped out to do my job, to do my reporting, he always had the numbers to have my back. He was the support that we all needed. And I thought that Doris Burke, she put it perfectly when she said that television is the ultimate team sport. And the magic of it, it happens from the people that you don't get to see. And Pat was a magic maker. He will be missed dearly, and our deepest condolences to his family.
NBA Today is presented by American Express. Don't live life without it. And in part by Hotels.com. Find your perfect somewhere.
That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today. We don't have a show tomorrow, so we're going to enjoy a long weekend, enjoy the games, and we will see you Monday.